When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice
I had a change of scenery. I'm fucking so excited. I've stolen Dan's chair. Oh, man. So much more comfy than on this stool. Anyone who was listening in the last episode, we recorded these episodes back to back, and usually I sit on a stool, and I just got this new recliner chair. I'm very excited about it because I'm in my 30s now, and these are the things that excite me. But normally Dan is on it. Again, if you were listening to the last episode, I explained this is Dan's chair. He was trying to interrupt quite a lot, but he hopped off, so I've reclaimed it. And now I'm really comfortable, but I'm just like, this is my fingertips touching my computer. So I'm just too far. Like, I have to get off the chair, then I'm away from the mic, and it's a whole thing. So if you see me doing that, or if my voice sort of dissipates for a second and then it comes back, that's why. I'm doing my best, team.
I'm doing my best. So many problems. You'll get through it. I know that much.
I think so.
I have faith in you.
I have faith. I've like rearranged everything. Oh, it's fantastic. I don't know why I've been doing this since the beginning. Oh, I forgot my tea.
Got distracted.
Oh, so much better. Okay, go. So, what were you saying? I forgot my vape. God damn it. When I get stuck. Oh, I can even recline a little bit. Oh, this is the best purchase I ever made.
Man, lucky you.
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay, I'm in.
I'm
ready.
I have to set up like a real podcast office in my flat.
I mean, it's like chaos. Like, it's my office is like a little inlay under my stairs, and I love it. Like, it's my little space, and I do my audition work and stuff in it. But it's like fucking chaos. And now, even worse, now I'm gonna have to like fix all of this shit that I've just made terrible.
But you've got like a little Harry Potter room. That's awesome.
I've got a little Harry Potter room. Yeah, and like I've got all sorts in here, like tools, and I can see it all now, like tools and boxes and spare pillowcases are all in the like in this little bit that I can figure out where they were supposed to go, and all sorts of nuts stuff.
Well, shall we dive in?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Welcome back to Return to the Shadows, because it's been so long since we've spoken and done this. It's not like it's been 3 minutes or anything since the last episode. Yeah. But we return to season 2, episode 9, Bound by Blood, which aired originally on February 27th, 2017, written by the great Peter Binswanger, directed by the also great Matthew Hastings, starring Catherine McNamara, Dominic Sherwood, Alberto Rosendi, Matthew Jodario, Emerald Dibia, Isaiah Mustafa, Harry Shum Jr., guest starring Alan Van Sprang, Alicia Wainwright, Ariana Williams, David Castro, Jade Hasune, Vanessa Matsui, Nick Sagar, Josh Horvath, and Lawrence Dickinson. Some of
you stuck a breath in there, but it was a very Broadway breath. It was very good. I was listening for it because when I did this, I tried to get all of that plus the guest stars out in one breath and I couldn't do it. But I smoked for a long time, so maybe that's why. And you've never done that, which I'm very proud of you for. But you, right at the end, it was so close. I think it was between, let me see here, it was between like Josh, it was between Nick and Josh. So it was like so close to getting all the way through. That should be a challenge. I want to try and get one of these all the way through without having to breathe. Anyway, I digress. In this episode, Clary faces a world of trouble. Clary is sidelined. I need to bring it closer. I can't see shit. Logline. Fucking hell, honestly.
You're in your 30s, why do people hire me? You gotta bring things a little closer now.
No kidding. Yeah, seriously. What happens in this episode? Clary faces a world of trouble. Clary is sidelined by Iris's blood oath while the downworld begins to fall apart. With word getting out that Clary is a key part of Valentine's plan, the downworlders are at odds on how to handle the issue. But when Iris activates her blood oath, Clary has more to worry about than hiding from Valentine and the downworlders. Meanwhile, Isabel and Raphael get closer as Alec tries to figure out what's going on with his sister. Oh my goodness. It's going to be cut together perfectly, but if you guys could hear the fucking palaver I just had trying to get that out.
Nah. It was
no
perfect.
One would ever hire
the
me as an actor
time.
Again. First time, it was perfect. Yeah. I got nothing wrong. Goodness.
No, never. You never do that.
Never.
This is an interesting book to screen moment, which I think we should kind of talk about. This is the first time we get to see the Downworld Council, which is a bigger deal in the books than it is in the show. But I thought they did a really beautiful job of it in the show of bringing in this sort of, you know, there's a representative from each of the Downworld communities and they come together and, you know, deal with the Shadowhunters in their own way. Mm. It's a bit of United Nations of the Shadow World kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the way that they do it in our show is so beautiful. They have all the banners and they bring it in such a beautiful way. I can't remember if we actually see that full setup in this episode, but
I can't remember that scene, if I'm honest. I'm very excited for it to turn up.
But do you remember that, you know, they do it sometimes in the training room. They transform it into the council room where they have the banner for each of the things and the big round table.
I sort of vaguely remember one of those from season 3 where we all get each other's powers.
It's similar to that, but not quite.
Was I in the scene? Oh, I don't remember.
I think we entered the scene. It was a point where we were dealing with the Sealy Queen and I had to come in and sass at Lola.
Got
it. And I don't remember. Sass. I did that a lot. Yeah. Anyway, here we are. As the episode begins, we get to see... I forget how it starts. Let's find out.
It starts with you guys about to fuck. In a canoe.
Oh, this is the canoe.
And I come in and ruin
it. Oh my God. Okay,
This was a fun scene.
It was fun for you, and it was fun for us too. But I'll tell you, I got the scare of my life during this scene. The way that we shot it, because the canoe itself was so high up in the boat basin, in order to shoot Alberto's and my coverage, they set it up in just sort of a dark corner of the studio. They brought one of the canoes down and just stacked two of them on top of each other so the cameras could get in and around us more easily.
Got it.
And of course, as is wont to do when you're nearing the end of season 2 on a series and the crew and the cast is very close, Alberto and I were, and I think it's in the bloopers, Alberto and I were doing the scene and mid making out and all this stuff, and Isaiah pops his head out from behind the canoe in the middle of a take and scares the living daylights out of me.
Nice. Very good.
If you've ever had a parent walk in on you making out with someone, that's that feeling. And it was not.
That's never happened to me.
Not a fun one.
No. I don't think that's, I mean, I'm an adult now. Like, mom sees me kiss Dex all the time, but like, never in a canoe, tell you that much. It's never been. Oh, my mum just texted me. That's weird. Like, literally as I was talking about it, someone's ears were burning.
Everything.
I remember this scene being a lot of fun. Alberto and I got to have so much fun with this, like, annoyance with each other. We really got to play with it. Some of this is in the bloopers as well.
Yeah. Nobody ever knocks in the Shadow World.
Nobody ever. But why would you knock in a boat basin? You know, it's not a standard place you would need to knock in.
This is
when he was in really good shape as well. I mean, he's always been in fantastic shape. But Alberto, little fun note. I think it was right at the end of it was in the mid-season break. He got in such good shape that he got told to lose muscle mass. He had to slim up a little because he got in such phenomenal shape that he didn't look vampiric anymore. He started to look a little more werewolfy. And they were like, you need to slim up a little bit because we were all so jealous when he turned up at the gym that day and took his shirt off for the first time. We were like, What the fuck? How did that happen? It was wild. He had like wings. No joke. He had like wings of muscle down his back. It was insane.
Do you remember that one picture that Nuno, our trainer,
he was doing the pull-ups,
and his back is just
unreal. Man. Zero well done, body fat Alberto. On the guy. Yeah.
That's the thing with Alberto too. He's always been such an athlete. He has so much muscle memory. He can sneeze near a weight and just be totally stacked.
He's working out with Nuno again now.
I am too.
Oh, are you? Nice.
Yeah. I forgot that Clary hits you in the face with his shirt.
Yeah. That was annoying. And that's an annoying thing to film. There were two that are jumping to me right now, irritating face shots in the show. There was this one. Because ballistically, shirts don't ever fly where you want them to fly. Like, ball up a shirt as tight as you can and try and launch it across the room. It's going to make it 3 feet and then open up like a parachute. And then I don't remember if you were here for this one. Do you remember you had to have been there. Because you open a portal to somewhere and like paper starts flying around the room. And they had a big fucking jet engine, basically, is what it looked like. Like a massive 6-foot-tall fan. And they were just throwing bits of like sort of half crumpled paper. But as soon as it hit the air, it got such velocity that it would hit me in the face, and it felt like being punched in the face. And I was trying to sort of do dialogue, and every now and then this thing would like crunch me in the face. And you can't really, I think I was reading something. I was looking at you.
You were looking at me.
I was looking at you. So I wasn't looking. And so it catches you really by surprise. We'll have to talk about that when we reach that episode.
That was very poor planning, because you had paper in the face and my hair was just, I was full cousin it. Yeah. We'll get there. We got another season before that. Currently my hand is turning necrotic.
Yeah, it's not good.
Not good.
Not good. Oh, burning, it's not. It doesn't look like the black spot. I thought it started in the middle of your hand for some reason, but it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't look great, does it?
No, because she pricks my finger to sign the blood.
To take the yeah.
Yeah.
That bitch.
So it starts from the point where she pricked my finger, and then it goes from there. I do have to give Randy Dodlin and his team such a huge shout out the practical effects, because that was the necrotic hand was done in stages practically throughout the episode. And the first time they did it, they just kind of painted it and did it manually, but then they started making patches. And so they'd pre-paint these silicone patches and put them on my hand and put everything else. And I don't know how much of it ended up in the episode, but Randy, we know his propensity for loving little gross details and just making it as gory as possible. We had one fingernail that was off and another one that was dangling.
I remember that.
This stuff. And we did some exposed bone on different knuckles, and it was so much fun.
I remember all that. It was fucking grim. There are some things, no matter how gory it gets, there are some things where you're like, that's too much. Like, I have a friend who doesn't matter how fake it is, how fake it looks, cannot deal with throats being slit. And he can't even do it with his eyes closed, because the noise of that then sort of triggers him into this place. And for me, it's fingernails. If you ever see a fingernail come off, and I've never lost a fingernail, so I don't know where this like trepid fear comes from. But it's something for me that I watched this movie the other day, where zombie movie, where I watched it years ago, and I haven't watched it since because this one shot, one of the zombies scratches at like a door. And as they scratch at it, all of their fingernails peel off the back of their hand. And I was like, nope, that's me done. Ah. I'm never watching this movie ever again. Nope, sorry.
No.
I think Alan's in it. Is that true?
I'm sure. Alan's in everything.
In fucking everything. Good for him.
But yeah, no, that is true. It's I have it with skin slices. If there's like a first cut even made into a cadaver, or somebody, you know, gets it, even just needles going into skin on camera. I don't know what it is.
Oh, interesting.
Skin puncturing.
But it's only the first one. If it happens a second time, you're all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's like the initial cut of it. I don't know. I can't.
That's so interesting. Have Kinsey tell you the story about how he like cheese grated his finger once, and it came out is it like julienne, when you made julienne potatoes and they come out in a little zigzag? Yeah. He hit his finger with that and it took out a zigzag chunk of his hand. He has a photo of it. It's really grim.
Nope.
Next time you see him, ask him to tell you about it. Go on. I'm going
to
have him text you the photo.
Shout out to Kinsey, who wrote our theme song.
Woo, Alex Kinsey, who actually has new music coming out as well. So make sure you go and listen to that as and when it comes out. Hot Mess is hands down like my favorite song of all time. So you need to, if you're not already doing it, because you're listening to this. But as soon as you're done after this, go and download and listen to Hot Mess by Kinsey.
I love Hot Mess. It's one of my favorites too. Now what's happening here?
Magnus and Alec are talking and they're in the daylight. And I really like, we get such a rare, they started happening a little more through season two, but it was so rare that we got these like really nice sort of seemingly naturally lit daytime scenes. This is in the studio because their balcony was in the studio, but it looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And there's something really nice about the sort of dichotomy of like, it's a pathetic fallacy where the weather directly relates to the emotions of the characters, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
One thing I learned in school is pathetic fallacy, and it's like locked in my brain somewhere. Can't do simultaneous equations or tax, but simultaneous equations, that's up there, staying up there. But yeah, looks fantastic. Love a good daytime scene. We come to Magnus for help. That's what's happening.
Of course. They're having a nice moment. I'm like, I need help. We're dying.
Yeah, you're dying. 100%. God, it does look gross.
Yeah. Le chair brûlée is what it's called.
Yeah.
The burnt flesh.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Iris.
Once the magic reaches your heart, you're a goner. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No.
It doesn't have that long. It's moving. Like in the time it took us to get from the boat basin to there, it's taken over most of your hand.
Yeah, it's moving pretty quick.
It doesn't say a timeline. That's probably smart filmmaking wise. It's smart not to give an exact, like, it's going to take exactly 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be dead.
Sometimes you need that, though, but not in this case.
Nick's back. Where was he?
Hey, welcome back, Alder Tree.
Where was he for a whole episode? Good grief.
I don't know, man. Doing something nefarious.
I like that he has The Art of War on his bookshelf, and that's how we started it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's his priority. Who's The Art of War by? Is it Sun Tzu?
Yeah.
Have you read The Art of War?
I have read parts of it. I had to read part of it for school, but I don't think I ever read the whole thing.
You had to read The Art of War for school?
Yeah. Part of it.
You go to school?
Mm-hmm.
It was mental.
International literature section. Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Where were we? Back to Alder Tree.
Yeah. So he's getting his claws back into the Isabel situation. And then
this was just creepy. This was a creepy little sub-story.
Yeah. But then we cut to Jade Wolf. And Luke is going, oh, no. Not again.
Not again.
You're in some pickle.
And I'm just on the phone in the background. Fucking awesome. There you go. Some of my best work right there by the ducks again. I remember them. That's right. Because they put me by the ducks again, and I remember talking about it, and they told me that it wasn't that they cut the scene from the previous episode.
Oh,
so I was like, I'm not gonna react to them a second time because it doesn't make any sense.
They don't cut it again.
So it just got it, that whole like arc just got kind of nixed. I thought it was a fun little thing that he This is such a weird thing to be afraid of. You're afraid of ducks. There you go. Mm-hmm. Even dead ducks.
It's true. It should be. But speaking of dead things, Clary ends the scene by putting her foot down and saying Simon's coming with them. Because, you know, if I'm going to die, I'm going to have Simon with me or something. Then yeah. I go to the boat basin to try and get him. But I will say, this is one of my favorite scenes and one of the silliest scenes I ever had to do.
Oh, yeah, with the vampire?
I'm fighting a CGI werewolf.
Not vampire. Werewolf, that's it, with the werewolf. Yeah. This was fun. This fucked you up. Do you remember?
I do remember. I do. This is why you should always listen to Darren McGuire, because mm-hmm. I was supposed to be standing this whole fight. Or sitting like I am here at first. And, you know, as things go, when Simon passes me this boat oar, I ended up on my knee. And Darren, after we blocked the scene, Darren said to me, he goes, you know, do you want to put on a shin pad or something? Because it's going to be a while and, you know, you're going to be. And I went, no, I'm fine. My shin was black after this because it was half a day.
You really put yourself
on
through
the asphalt.
But, you know, we've talked about this before as well. Like, it's part of it. You don't feel it at the time. So you got the adrenaline running through you. You're doing what you enjoy. Like, and the stunts became such a heavy part of what we do that you don't feel it at the time. But you especially, you bruise so easily.
I do. I bruise like a peach.
Bless your heart. But this was, I remember you showing me. I was like, fuck, that's bad. Really bad. Yeah. There you go.
That's all right.
You learn. You got to listen.
You do.
I had one, not as bad as you, but I bruise fairly easily also. And I had one at the end of season 3 where I have to go to elbow someone and I'm supposed to miss and hit the wall behind them. And they were like, just don't hit the wall. And I was like, okay, I won't hit the wall. And then take number one, sure enough, just went straight past it, put a little dink in the set, like whatever, and then did the rest of the scene. And they're like, I think it was either Darren or Max who came up and said they'd seen it. And they went, you want some ice? And I was like, yes, please, please don't tell anyone.
Yes, please. I'd like some ice and some Advil, but don't say anything.
Yes, I would like some ice and Advil.
Shout out to Drew, our set medic, who would sneak us Advil and ice at any given moment so we could keep fighting. This scene, though, I do remember talking to Matt Hastings, who directed this, and to Darren about how we were going to do this. Because obviously, the werewolf is entirely CGI, but it can look really odd if you're fighting something and there's nothing there. And we tried it a few different ways. So we did a lot of takes. And I think what they ended up using were takes where I was just battling by myself. But what we tried at first was they put one of our stunt doubles in a full green suit and had her be the werewolf and fight me. And I was glad we did that first, because then I had at least felt what it was like to have somebody there and to have some force to kind of work against.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, they ended up not using her until there was because there was that moment where she flies over the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
And they used her for that, I think. This sprint too, you ran so fast at this.
Yeah.
That sprint
this
that
actually,
you did,
this is in the bloopers as well. It was like trying to stop because it's all gravel out there, if you remember. It's fully graveled. And the stop was like a 4-foot slide. And I managed to stop the slide right sort of on my mark, which is very rare for me. I very rarely hit my mark. It's just ask anyone I've ever worked with. It's I had this camera operator, Patrick. I should text him actually and see how he's doing on partner track. And he goes, like, by the end of the show, he would go, "Dumb, that mark on the floor, it's not a fucking suggestion, all right? That's where you got to stand." I was like, oh, shit. Sorry, dude, my bad. He's like the nicest guy. He was doing everything in jest, obviously, but, like, he was right. I wasn't on my mark every time.
Well,
poor camera team trying to adjust to me just being fucking useless the whole time. There you go.
That's all right.
That's all right.
And again, the clever, this is something, again, in Supernatural series that I always find charmingly funny when, you know, somebody's naked, but they don't want to show it. And there's just like a cleverly placed box when the werewolf stands up.
Yeah. Or, you know, when it's PG-13 and like you're like wearing underwear right after sex.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, when did your boxers come on? Like, why is your bra on? That doesn't make any fucking sense at all. But like, because it's PG-13, that's why we're not allowed to show any of this. You know what I mean?
And then, you know, Alicia wearing a Rock Solid Panda t-shirt and a Simon hoodie while being handcuffed and questioned.
This is solid though. She does such a good job here, because this is the first time we get to see this. Like, she doesn't like being caged, right? She doesn't like being put in, yeah. Isn't she afraid of that? She's like intensely claustrophobic. And I think this is the first time we get to see a little element of that fear sort of coming out in her, which I think is really cool. And it's done very well.
Mm-hmm. And it's this thing too, with, you know, all of the downworlders in this episode have, particularly Simon and Luke, have such a conflict to confront here, because mm-hmm. technically speaking, Clary has to die to save the world.
Yeah.
If from what the characters know at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, you know, Meliorn, Maya, everyone's trying to kill her.
Yeah.
But, you know, given the fact that they're heroes and good people, they are trying to find another way. But it's one of those things. Do we save the person Always we love? Do we way. Save our communities?
Yeah, the acceptable loss, right? Like, what do you... Yeah. I mean, if Clary isn't a part of your direct community, that answer is fairly obvious, right? Like, yeah. Do you save your version of Clary, or do you save this stranger who is Clary to somebody else? Like, it's a fairly obvious answer. And then you get into the more sort of political, military version of this, which is acceptable loss. Like, do you kill one to save two? Probably not. Do you kill one to save 100? Maybe. Do you kill one to save 1,000? Now you're starting to tip the vote a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that interesting, I think we've spoken about it before. Yeah. But that sort of, yeah, that interesting world where you're like, interesting, there is a number that you would say yes to.
Yeah.
It just depends on the person.
And the parties involved. Mm-hmm. This scene, there's so many scenes in the show that I've forgotten about.
This
one, for example, where Luke is like, mind. I have to stay behind.
Oh,
and Clary's going, oh, you're not, are you past it?
I'm past it.
Okay. Sorry. Well, where Luke goes, hey, I got to stay behind. And you get to see, once again, father and daughter say goodbye. Because mm-hmm. they both know that if they don't figure this out, if they don't find Madsy,
in the end.
And Luke is technically our best tracker as well. But mm-hmm. because the downworld is also trying to kill Clary, that's the thing they have to do. And you see it in Isaiah's eyes so clearly. You can tell he's a dad sometimes. It's just,
you can
just
tell he's
so
a dad.
I love Isaiah.
Oh, Dot's back. Old zombie Dot.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about zombie Dot. Oh, and we're taking the van. Oh, that's right. This is Valentine's Funhouse.
Yeah, this fucking creepy-ass set. The one thing I remember about this set, and it sticks in my mind so fervently, and I don't know if it's in this episode or a later episode, I can't remember, but you're chained to the floor at some point in this set. And it's, I think, the one and only time that I got you with the sword in the entire 4 years of filming. And I felt fucking dreadful. Really fucking dreadful.
I don't remember
dreadful.
That.
I clipped you in the leg, I think. Like, I have to cut the chain.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's in this set, because now, like, my heart rate is going. I feel so guilty that it happened. But I clipped you in the leg, and you muscled through, and you're like, you know, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. You did a very good job. But I still feel bad to this day about that, because I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got you.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I have no recollection of that. So
it does make me feel a little better.
I was clearly fine. Poor Dot. Again, she's
Poor
just one of those characters that just goes through it. But I will say, you know,
makeup team,
fantastic job. But also, Vanessa and I would always joke, because she came back from the dead so many times. I remember sitting there on this day talking to her, and she's going, this has got to be my last episode, right? I mean, this has got to, like, I'm
never know. Yeah, sci-fi like, and fantasy, baby. You just never know. Like, nobody really stays dead. Who stays dead on our show? Lilith, but only really because we didn't do a season 4. I'm sure she would have come back. They fucking adored Anna.
Yeah,
we all
I was gonna say Jocelyn, but no.
No,
I mean,
no. She comes back in a memory. I
dead,
mean, she dies.
But not gone.
Yeah, but not gone. Like, the actor came back.
Yeah.
Valentine, nope, got him back.
No. Oh, Aldertree.
We're on Aldertree. How are we on Aldertree? There it is. I found it. Yeah. Oh, he's reading The Art of War now.
Just a slight bit of symbolism
yeah,
there.
Little light reading. Do you think mm-hmm. Sun Tzu's family still get like a pushback? Do you think they get any money for us putting this in? Like, when was The Art of War written? Let's see. It has to have been forever ago. Jesus Christ. You want to know when The Art of War was written?
When?
It's hard to know exactly when The Art of War was written, but most scholars think it was written between 475 and 221 BCE.
I'm pretty sure it's common law copyright.
I think just so, yeah. I want to say so, but also someone should do that tracking and see if Shadowhunters owes them any money. Like, through the family tree and be like, yeah, we owe you $17 for using... book in this thing.
Does it go up with funny. Inflation or does it just stay?
Can you imagine?
Like a...
Yeah. Can you imagine like if it's the one like notice of the thing and it's like $12 million or something insane?
Oh my God. The entire budget of an episode. Okay, so now moving on from that, because
moving
we don't want to incur
on.
Any past dues.
Yeah, before we get everyone in trouble.
Exactly. We have Isabel and Raphael making tamales.
Tamales.
Also, can we just talk about Raphael's apartment real quick and how fantastic it is?
Yeah,
and,
no kidding. In New York as well. I don't think people realize how expensive New York is unless you live in New York. It is wild. Like, why? I spent 8 months filming Partner Track there, and the rent, like, I almost punched the lady in the face when she told me how much I was going to be paying for rent. I was like, you out of your mind? I want to rent it. I don't want to buy it as a condo. Yeah. They were like, no, that's the price per month. I was like, oh, fuck me. Holy shit. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Just cost of living in New York is so much anyway. But, you know, vampires don't have to worry about that, really.
That's true. Another pro-vampire thing.
Oh, and then Luke goes all tough love with Maya. This is what you were talking about, how you get to see her,
yes,
her claustrophobia come to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he leaves her snacks.
You've got lots of snacks. Lots of snacks. She does do such a good job in these scenes.
Yeah.
Again, same as Nicola. Like, it's all just very, like, real. It's very grounded. It's very raw.
She does such a beautiful job with all of these moments. And here's the park. So last episode I mentioned, oh, there's that park. Now we're back at this
it's
park
all coming
because we're
back
tracking
to me
Madsy and we're trying to figure it out. I do love the sort of relationship that you two have in this episode. It brings me so much joy.
Yeah.
You both do such a great job at that, writing that line of this triangle. Oh, yeah.
I don't think this would have worked if we disliked each other in real life.
Oh, no.
I don't think there's
not
a way that this could happen. Like, you have to, we talk about it all the time. It's all about trusting the person who's working with you.
Yeah.
And them trusting you and proving to them that they can trust you and vice versa. Like, you can't, there's no other world that this relationship works. Like, you have to trust that person.
Well, and you know, we talk about this all the time with the show, but we were so lucky because all of us fell into that trusting kind of relationship very quickly. And that's why each of these relationships on the show means so much, and why I think the audience connects so much to them as well, because we trusted each other and it allowed us to kind of go to places and play with things and find moments that otherwise we wouldn't have if we had our guards up.
Yeah, I agree. Also, remember this truck and how it smelled like gasoline the whole time?
Yeah.
We could never really figure out exactly why it smelled like gasoline, because it run, like it was, it functioned, but there was definitely a gas leak in it somewhere.
And inevitably, every time we did a scene in there, we'd always get a little bit delirious.
A little delirious.
I wonder why.
Oh, fucking high as a kite.
Mm-hmm. And this scene we actually shot. So I don't know if folks know this, but so we shot this scene inside our studio on the blue screen. But as you can see, the van is still moving. So this scene, Simon, Jason, Clary are in the panda van. They're driving to the next location, trying to find Madsy, but they know they're running out of time. And you know, Clary is going, look, if it costs me my life, just don't let the downworld go to waste. You know, don't let it be wasted.
Mm-hmm.
But technically speaking, the van is moving as though we're driving down a road. What it actually is it consists of a lot of our grips and a lot of our crew members outside the van bumping into it.
Yeah.
And
rugby tackling it as hard as they can.
Just rugby tackling the van over and over again. Yeah.
Basically, picked our six biggest crew members, like our biggest, strongest dudes. And they were like, hey, come on, we're going to like shoulder barge this. Normally, this is like a low budget way of doing it. Normally, what would happen is you put it on something called a gimbal, which is a big machine, and it literally does this underneath it, and it like drives. You've seen cars. I promise you, every listener out there has seen a car on a gimbal at some point. Because if you've ever seen someone driving and they're doing this with the steering wheel, that car's on a gimbal, whether it's on the street or not on the street, because nobody drives like this. Because you'd be doing this on the road.
Yeah,
you'd be going all over the place. That was very visual, and I'm aware of that. And we're doing a podcast. I'm aware that was a very visual thing for me to do, but you know what? Maybe we'll
you
turn
painted
it into
the picture
clip.
Well.
I think so. Yeah. Thanks,
Clary. And just at the end of the scene, Clary slowly just passes out. Yeah. In the background.
That might have just been you. That might have been a you thing. Like, you were getting more gasoline than the rest of us. Nobody noticed. You just slowly went, and out she goes.
Maybe so.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
So now we're back with the Downworld Council, but instead we don't have the room at the Institute yet, so they're at Hunter's Moon.
Mm-hmm. Here's what they did with this Melion's look in this is fucking unreal. Like the change here with the armor and the scar across his face, this looks so good. So, so good.
He's just so unequivocally badass. Just he always makes an entrance, and just the presence with which he brings every moment that he gets as Meliorn, I just can't get over it.
Calm. It's the calm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brilliant stuff.
Also, why is he the only one who brought backup
buddies? Yeah, I don't know. They were all confident enough to not need it otherwise.
I guess so.
Can't believe you gave away my jacket, rascal.
I know. Oh,
the holsters as well. I miss putting my holsters on every day.
I miss it too.
There was something really cool about it. It made me feel like him. It made me feel badass. Like I miss doing it.
Vampires in the Sea, that's Montclairy dead. Okay, well, dang it. And Maya's having a moment. Alicia does such beautiful work here. And it's just, the way it's so frenetically cut together and the way it's shot with the fan doing that oscillating light throughout the scene. Quite ominous and lovely. Oh, yeah, I forget because she wolfs out at the end. That's right.
Yeah.
She gets to tear the place to shreds. That's always fun when you get to have a scene where they just go, just destroy this.
Everything's breakable.
Break everything.
Everything is breakaway. Except I have a scene like this in season 3.
I know
they
you
were
do.
Like, everything's breakable. And it fucking wasn't. No, it wasn't. There was one thing that wasn't. I punched the shit out of that thing and split my knuckles open. I was like, oh, no. This is the one. And they literally came to you afterwards. They were like, literally the one thing. The one thing you could have hit. This is the one thing that is unbreakable. Like, sorry.
Yeah. I totally forgot about the run up the van that Alberto does in this next scene. And he vamp runs up the front of the van.
Yeah.
So cool.
Which was awesome. What are you watching?
I'm Simon and Clary on top of the van. And just given our van conversation earlier, the first thing I say in this scene is, if I'm going to die, it's not going to be in this van. Thank you, Pete Binswanger, because he picks up on every detail.
Yeah.
I mean, what
this
else
is a really lovely
into?
Scene between you two, though. Really lovely. I remember, both of you do a really fucking good job here. This was in the studio.
Yeah, it was.
I was here this day for some reason. Because I'm not in this scene. I don't know why I was here, but I remember watching it and being like, wow, this is fucking awesome.
Thank you. Again, it's one of those things where our crew was so wonderful with this, and we had so many directors that were great with this. They would just give us the space to really play out these emotional things and to go there and stay there and be in that space. God, I miss getting to play with you guys.
Yeah, me too. Me too. What are you guys arguing about? I want Magnus and Alec arguing about something.
Alder tree? I want
to
say.
No, it's a she thing. Something to do with she.
Isabel.
Maybe Iris?
Isabel.
Isabel? No, it was a warlock. They were talking about a warlock. Couldn't be Iris.
I think they're talking about because Isabel went, because he knows that Isabel is after Yin Fen because she went to the Hunter's Moon to try and get it off a warlock.
I see. Because
he's got
I
the
see,
warlock. Ear to the ground of the warlocks.
I
and
see.
They figure out that she's going to Raphael because Meliorn called out Raphael for fraternizing with Isabel and Magnus.
There it is. There it is.
Again with the treats.
Again with the treats.
Ariana's little smirk gets me every time. Is this the scene you were talking about with Alan?
Yeah, it was actually Matt Hastings' idea, and he did a very good job. He wanted like gunslingers, right? So like you sat at the poker table, and you just get your trigger finger sort of hovering over the trigger of your gun, but not quite there yet. But you have to be smiling because nobody else can know what's going to happen until it happens. And I remember this being a really cool scene, and it was something new for us because normally it is all blood and guts right away.
Yeah.
You know, fighting, whatever. And this was a nice sort of change of pace where it did get to be very still. Still very tense, but very still.
Yeah. And once again, you have the ace in the hole going, hey, sure, you can do everything you want, but Clary's going to die.
Clary's going to die.
And she's your tool. You two are so fantastic.
You wouldn't kill your falcon when you're a boy. Get out of my face with that. Keep throwing in the falcon. Get out of my face. Are you kidding me? Where is my falcon?
Yeah, where is your falcon?
I think Decker has it. I definitely stole it from set. I remember that
because
it was big and heavy and uncomfortable. And I remember trying to stuff it in my jacket. And that was hard work. Yeah, this apartment, man. Are you out of your mind? An apartment not only big enough to have a grand piano in it in New York is going to cost you a fortune, but big enough to have a grand piano and then some with like extra space.
Mm-hmm.
No way. You're out of your mind.
And a sectional couch.
I remember this scene too.
Oh, yes,
this was awesome.
Yes, that's Dario. Yeah.
Brutal.
That just decks him. Oh, man.
You wouldn't want him coming at you, Matt. He's a big dude and he's very athletic. You wouldn't want him to be mad at you. You know what I mean? I don't think he would ever. I think he's too intelligent to ever throw a punch at someone. But you wouldn't want him to.
No. He'd be one of those quiet ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Because so, he's giving me chills. Mostly because I've seen Matt do scenes where like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, once he's just so good at, damn. All right, Matt.
He's really going for it.
Well, and, you know, between him and David, you know, they're both going to commit. Oh, and then Harry comes in and does that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Ooh, some real serious stuff. Alec, angry Alec. Pissed at both Raphael and Magnus. Magnus is in a difficult spot. You know, he cares for Raphael, but Raphael also did a bad thing, much as he tried to go against it.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't think anyone's anger is misplaced necessarily, or I don't think anyone's anger is unjustified, but it is misplaced, maybe. Maybe
yeah,
that's
well, and all of the Downworlders are in a really heightened spot because they've just learned that their entire existence could evaporate at any second. Given
True.
The Soul Sword. So it's, you know, everything's a little bit more intensified at this point.
Look at that beautiful car. Why didn't we see that car anymore? It's like a classic Lincoln. I guess it's Raphael's, but like, why didn't we put that in more? That's such a cool car.
It may not have been ours. It may have been just for this episode, for this shot,
just
we're going to throw
this
car
in
and then never see it again.
We never had we had the van, but we never had like a Shadowhunter's mobile, which I think was a wasted opportunity.
Well, Shadowhunters don't drive.
Yeah, but we changed a lot of things. I drived one time, drove
one
time.
Yeah, and ended up with a bloody nose. You drive?
Yeah, but like I figured then I would, I drived one time right into the lamppost. I would have figured it out.
Maybe not the best idea.
I bet Alec knows how to drive.
Yeah, I bet he knows, but he just won't do it.
Yeah.
I'm still dying.
Dying.
Slowly.
You're dying.
Oh, yeah, they added these patches of it right at the end. They added a patch up my neck
way
and a
up,
patch
yeah.
down, like these fingers reaching down toward my heart.
Yeah, you don't got long.
I'll touch your face with my good hand.
Yeah, like, yeah. Simon being the germaphobe. This is how much he loves you. Because he's like, oh, yeah, you can, like, is it contagious, though? Because it looks like leprosy. I don't know if this is the right option here. Yeah. Oh, straight into the arms.
Okay, and so this shot, as Clary and Madsy reconnect and the blood oath is healed, we had to do the scene of my hand transforming back at the last minute. It was one of those reshoot days where we didn't have a lot of time and we were picking up all the spots on a blue screen.
Oh, shoot, I remember this.
Do you remember this?
Yeah.
So Sarah, our stand-in, our female stand-in, the healed hand you see is actually her hand because mine had all the gross stuff on it. And then she knelt behind me and hid under the camera. And I put my hand behind me and she, you know, Whose Line Is It Anyway style, stuck her hand through mine and just held it up.
We and had so a couple of those shots, gags.
Yeah.
Because Luke popped his shoulder, didn't he? So towards the end, there are a couple, like, someone else's arm. I think literally at the end, someone else's arm through Luke's jacket. holding a sword up or something.
When we have Luke on the show, we'll have to talk to him about this because what it was is they literally wrapped his stunt double in a green sheet and put Luke on the green screen and then had his double stick the arm. I don't know. We'll have to have Luke explain it. He's got a video somewhere. But now we're back in Valentine's Fun House of Horrors.
Here it is. This is the scene. This is the scene where I have to do your chain.
Yeah.
I don't know. I missed how we got here. How did we get here?
So we got here. So as soon as Madsy heals me, we portal away and we're back in the Carnival of Horrors.
Oh my God.
Because you bribe a girl with enough frozen hot chocolate and she'll bring you your angel daughter, apparently.
How did they get all that shit in there? And this is the studio, right? This is Studio B.
This is Studio B, but remember, they would just open an elephant door and they could bring all of it in. Because we never saw them open hardly, but they were kind of on the far side between front of the studio and Jay Wolf.
All of this stuff collapses and all of this stuff can...
Oh, yeah.
I was like, how did you get a merry-go-round in there? But I guess it all kind of comes apart and it's how they move it. That makes sense.
In pieces. Yeah. I remember we all had probably an hour or two just to run around and take pictures on this set and just literally horse around. It was too much fun. I think they sort of let us do it on purpose too, because they knew if they didn't give us time to do it, we would do it while we were working instead.
I remember the first time I saw like my bedroom set, Silic was like, everything in here is practical. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, everything, like the pull-up bars, the punch bag, like everything has been made so it works. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Why did you do that? And they were like, because we know you. First thing you're going to do is jump up on the pull-up bar and start doing pull-ups. And if it wasn't attached, you're going to rip it right out of the roof. I was like, you're right, 100%.
Yeah, or kick the bag or something. And so, of course, they dom-proofed it.
They dom-proofed it. They did, yeah. Bless them.
And a nice little face-off between father-daughter. Being like, hey, could you have a slice of humanity? And he goes, nah. And then Jason and Simon are trying to find Clary, as always.
What are these creatures?
Aren't they? Oh, it's the vampires.
They weren't vampires, right?
Yeah.
Were they? Why did they have all this stuff on their face?
Hold on, let's see.
Oh, it was a vampire and a Seelie?
No, they're just... I'm pretty sure they're just vampires.
Were they just vampires?
They might be vampires addicted to Yin Fen? No, what's going on here? Let's find out.
Oh, it's the uprising. It's the beginning of the uprising.
Yeah.
Beginning of the downward uprising. There must be listeners who watch the show and are like screaming at us, you fucking idiot! It's this! How do you not know?
It's the creatures from Valentine's Zoo! Yeah, what are you talking about?
You're right.
Yeah, we know. We did a lot of episodes. It's been a lot of years. Yeah, because this basically, Valentine's trying to create a situation in which people want the downworld to disappear.
Yeah. See, they don't look like normal vampires.
No. So these are Valentine's experiments.
Oh.
From Chernobyl. So these are the guys. So all the cages that you saw in Valentine's boat and all of the stuff and the people you saw kind of around the edges of the carnival, they're his... you know, creations that he's unleashing on the world to show how bad demons are, basically, or anything with demonic blood. But they look a little like vampires and a little like werewolves and a little, so it's sort of indeterminate downworlder. Yeah, there you go, Jace.
Yeah, and Simon. Let's go. Look at us working together.
Ooh, vamp speed. Ooh, that takedown. Way to go, Alberto. Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of anger in this episode.
Yeah. Luke, in to save the day. My hair in this episode has changed lengths like three different times. What's going on? That is mental. What is happening? I'm into it. I'm super into it.
Yeah. And then back to Maya, who gets out.
Poor Maya. She had a rough time.
And now you've finally found the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have Alec facing off with Aldertree once and for all. Oh, because now he knows what Aldertree is hiding.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, that's why he was so in tune with Yin Fen. Aldertree was an ex-field medic.
Yeah.
From the War of the Uprising. That's what it was. These little details, man. Way to go, Pete.
Way to go, Pete.
I love Pete's dialogue. Every time there's a Pete Binswanger episode, I can tell.
Yeah. We're back in creepy carnival.
Yeah.
This is where I got you. I feel bad. I remember it all happening. Oh, man. I could probably count the times that I hit someone on the show on one hand, and this was one of them. Sorry. Again, I apologize.
Again, don't even. Don't worry about it. Ooh, he's so sensitive.
The freezing moment. These are hard work. When you get frozen in place, they're hard work.
Yeah. I forgot that Alberto got to fight Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Little vampy Valentine fist fight.
Yeah. He gets some fun Alberto-Alan fight stuff. Or not fight stuff, but they get some fun scenes together.
Oh, that's right.
And a little foreshadowing there that he has him by the throat.
By the throat and by the forehead.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well spotted.
And that's the end of the episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Valentine drags Simon through a portal.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff going on.
Poor little misguided Madsie. You know, she's just trying to get some hot chocolate in this world.
And she doesn't know what's up.
She doesn't know any better. She doesn't know.
She's been raised the wrong way. It's not her fault.
Yeah.
Man, nobody's born evil. You know what I mean?
Well, next episode is the end of the first half of season two. And I can't believe we're already this far, but
Holy shoot. Next episode's
a big one. I don't know if you remember, but there's a lot that happens.
I remember lots of stuff happening. But that's for next episode, which we are filming tomorrow. So we don't have to wait very long. You guys have to wait for a while, but we don't have to wait very long.
It's true. But we will see you tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Thank you again.
Bye. Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Catherine McNamara, and Dominic Sherwood. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. Our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia, and our intern is Sam Katz. Original music by Alex Kinsey and performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.